Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Men's Room Happy Hour. Broadcast exclusively on Odyssey. Let the shenanigans begin.
Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the Men's Room Happy Hour, episode number 5, exclusively on Odyssey and the Odyssey app. Crowd goes wild.
They love it.
As you know, today is Seattle Rock Day. Sunday is our big party at Muckleshoot Casino. We will be there from 2 until 5. We have confirmation that not only will the new Men's Room IPA from Black Raven obviously be flowing there.
Delicious. Yep.
But the Men's Room Sausage, the beer brought, the new Men's Room beer brought from Uli's Famous Sausage will be on hand as well, which is also our first time to try, hopefully, what will be the most delicious meat product we've ever had. We can't lie about it because we haven't had it yet.
No, I mean, look, all the reviews that have come in, I said, man, it's really good. They show a picture and I'm grilling it here. I'm like, yeah, that does look good.
Well, and coming from Uli, yeah, I'm not shocked at all that it's delicious beer broth.
I'm not shocked. I just want to know. Especially because it comes from
Uli. I would just like to do that study and confirm it myself.
I'm going to walk in and just grab one and start eating.
Yeah.
Well, last year, man, they started firing up the sausages and I would say like 15 minutes, they were gone.
Oh, yeah.
They were gone real quick.
Yeah, I was hungry. I'd planned on eating one. We did a stage announcement. By the time we're done, the sausages are gone. So I'm not fucking around this time.
Yeah.
Next time, I'm grabbing one of these bastards straight up, man.
Yep.
Sorry.
What are you guys looking at?
There's a friggin' horde of helicopters that's coming in right now. And, of course, that blind's closed. But there was like three or four of them that just rolled. There they go. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. There is a doggone armada. Three Mississippi flying by over there. Mercy.
That's always comforting.
No, good. I hope we're all safe.
It's just four Blackhawks.
By the way, Muckleshoot absolutely free. Again, it's from 2 till 5, and it's a Sunday afternoon. So hopefully we'll see you there. Glenn Cannon and The Damage Done, they're going to take the stage and entertain us, so it's going to be a great afternoon. So remember again, 2 to 5, absolutely free, Muckleshoot Casino. Okay, as we promised you, and as you know, today is Seattle Rock Day here on The Rock, our fifth year. There are some auction items up on KISW.com. They benefit our friends at Smash.
Yep.
And they do great work for local musicians in the area, giving them some options for affordable health care, eye cost, dental things.
All the stuff, man.
All the stuff that they need.
So. They need. I went to the dentist yesterday morning, and I thought it was a regular cleaning. Turns out this was a deep cleaning, all right, and there's a difference. But I did not know this is what was scheduled, so I go in. The lady has me bite down on whatever, and I realized at that point it's one of those numbing things. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. This is the deep clean. Sure enough. They give me the shots, and I tried to eat a bagel yesterday morning when I came into work, and my wife even warned me, don't chew on your cheek. And I'm like, how stupid do you think I am? Well, she knows exactly how stupid I am. It wasn't actually my cheek, but my the inside of my lip. So
oh, you didn't know you were chewing on it?
No, man.
How's it taste?
You're just chewing this bagel, and but like I felt like something was kind of in the way of my teeth, so I reached my finger in, and I'm like, I think that's my own face. Sure enough, I went into the bathroom and looked, and yeah, I chewed a hole in the inside of my inner lip.
How's it feel today?
Not great. And you know what it is? It's one of those deals where once you make it raw and it's inside of your mouth, you cannot stop fucking with it.
Oh,
your tongue constantly runs over top of
it. It's like
of
having food in between your teeth.
Oh, yeah. You'll suck on it all day, but won't use the toothpick.
So today, and we told you on the air, we're not going to play the Chris Cornell interview this year on Seattle Rock Day, based on time and a lot of other things. But either way, we did promise that we would put it on the Men's Room Happy Hour. Now, we've run portions of the interview before, like maybe like a 12-minute segment or something like that, or just based on time that we had that day. And because it is a podcast, we're going to give you the full thing. So, as we promised on the air, and if you're getting this in the morning, then you'll find out later on what we're going to promise it on the air.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here is the full Chris Cornell interview in its entirety in honor of Seattle Rock Day. And we will see you at Muckleshoot Casino this Sunday, hopefully, from 2 until 5. All right, here we go. Let's roll the tape.
Ladies and gentlemen, live in studio, the one and only Chris Cornell. Chris, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You got a half applause there. Honest to God, you just came in. You don't really, you're not really promoting anything.
No, I just came in to see you guys.
Yeah, that's just why you're here, man. You know, I mean, look, anytime you see something like late night TV, there is a movie or there is a book or there is a record, and they're going to say, it's the greatest movie I've ever done. And I say, well, Chris is going to come by.
You're like, just here.
What the hell is going on? Does he really have no friends? Is that what this is?
Yes, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what it is. You know, I'm hoping that you'll be my friend.
There's no change. Listen, we went through this before the show. Let's get the elephant in the room. In this studio right now, we all recognize you are the ugliest and least talented man.
It's got to be tough.
Right? I mean, it's just.
Poor guy.
I know it sucks for you. I hope this music thing works out. All right, let me tell you something about Soundgarden, all right? Just real quick. So I lived in Baltimore back in the day, and when Sub Pop, when you guys first signed to Sub Pop did like a mailer thing, right? And so my buddy had signed up for us. I got Alice in Chains, Mother Love Bone, Soundgarden, okay? So. We fell in love with Soundgarden, no big deal. This time, I'm in a rock band.
Yeah.
And we just put out a demo on cassette, and we had some friends over, okay? So they wanted to hear our demo. This is honestly, God, Miles, I know you've had a similar experience in college football. So we put the cassette in the deck, and I run upstairs to take a leak, and I come downstairs, and everyone's like giving me the thumbs up as I'm walking downstairs. We put in the wrong goddamn cassette, and they're listening to Flower.
Oh, so that's
but
so
before
that
I can say it's not, they're like, God damn, guys, you guys are kicking. I mean, like, everyone's real, real complimentary. And I'm like, dude, it's not us, man. So we stop Flower, one of my favorite tunes. We and then we pop our cassette in, and they were being nice.
Yeah.
But clearly the reaction was so different. And that's when we kind of looked at each other. It just said, why are we doing this, man? Why are we doing it? And who put in the wrong goddamn cassette? Because they were like, holy crap. You guys kick ass. I'm like, that is not us.
No.
That is not us. And I'm still bitter about it. I just wanted to be clear.
I feel that, but now that we're friends, you know, we'll talk all this stuff through.
Now we heard they had to sneak you in the building. How is your life like that? I mean, are you like, I don't know, Dick Mingle at the Ramada Inn? I mean, do you have to kind of go around and,
Mingle
or whatever, you know? Yeah, like,
Is that the name you would pick?
I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you have to be, I mean, does your life kind of have to be like that in a weird way?
Yeah, that first one. I'm like that guy at the Ramada Inn. No, not really. I mean, no.
You can be yourself. So. You can walk around. I mean, you got a
dog.
Yeah,
I've always been. I mean, I lived in Seattle until I was 37, 36. And you know, I remember once I stopped going to sports bars, you know, which was in my, everything's fine.
Do you walk your dog, Ella? Do you pick up her poop? I mean, are you?
Yeah,
like
I remember wandering around Seattle and it's kind of like, I look at it like, do you or don't you draw attention to yourself? And it's sort of up to the person. Like if Prince goes into a place, he has people around him. And you see all that first, and you know, you don't know if it's Prince, but you know it's I remember meeting Fred Durst one time. I met him one time, and there were like five guys that looked like they could be the defensive line of an NFL team, and then behind that wall comes this guy, and a hand comes out to shake my hand and say hi to me, and I thought if you want no one to bother you. Just lose those five guys, and no one's gonna know who you are.
And the thing with Fred Durst, and nothing against the guy, but I mean, he just looks like the average bro. He's got his cap on.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he can walk into any douchebag bar, and no one.
Back to the sports.
Right. I mean, but yeah. I wouldn't notice him, and I know who the guy is, but I would not notice him there because he looks like it's like Everlast walking through Philadelphia. Like you're gonna blend in. Wear a wife beater, chin strap. No one knows.
Unless you're wearing like a purple. Trench coat and you know, I like Prince. You probably would see if he didn't have the five guys. He might need the five guys, but most people probably don't.
Well, speaking of Prince, you did Nothing Compares to You a couple years ago on XM Sirius live version of it.
Yeah,
does he call you? Does Prince call you and go like, Chris, I really like that version?
Apparently, he hates it when people do his songs.
That must be a horrible thing.
Well, hell, man, Tom Jones did Kiss. I mean, there's a lot of good covers.
It must
Prince.
Be so insulting when someone
I mean, come on,
who's already successful takes the time to pay tribute to you because they feel gracious about something.
It's kind of like Johnny Cash doing Rusty Cage. You had to sit back and go, oh man,
yeah, that was amazing. You know, I still do that.
Then you think, why could I have not interpreted it that way?
I was asked to interpret it for Johnny Cash, and I remember saying after I tried, I sat for a couple hours, and I thought, this is actually kind of a stupid idea.
What do you
do? And then I said, I can't do it. This I don't really understand. Whatever it is you're thinking, it isn't going to work. And then I heard the version that a smarter person did, and I thought, I was overthinking it.
It's amazing. You know, I mean, they're both
funny about that. Think about this with Johnny Cash, all right? So you put out the solo album Scream, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this is, and just keep in mind, this is a quote from Trent Reznor or a tweet or something. He says, you know that feeling you get when somebody embarrasses themselves so badly you feel uncomfortable? Heard Chris Cornell's record? Jesus. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm. All
right. Just keep this in mind now.
We got
so
the last
on this
part.
Station, right? On this station, we played Johnny Cash's Rusty Cage. Mm-hmm. We played Johnny Cash's Hurt.
Uh-huh.
No one complains when we play Soundgarden's Rusty Cage. And,
right.
and I'm about to make a dead true statement here.
Uh-huh.
When we played Nine Inch Nails Hurt, and I like Trent Reznor. I like Nine Inch, so make no mistake, I like it. But when every time we play it, the younger generation, they call and they tweet and they are pissed off because they're going, I can't believe Trent Reznor disrespects Johnny Cash like this.
Who's covering this song?
Oh, mm-hmm. They don't know.
Honest to God. There, and I'm like, so this is the guy complaining about your album, except people don't like his version of his own goddamn song, and they're mad at him for crapping on the memory of Johnny Cash. And I'm like,
Well, that's exactly what that illustrates why Prince gets upset, because the interview that I saw him do, he was saying that like the Sinead O'Connor song.
Sure.
Nobody knows that that's even my song. And what I would say is what puts Prince in the category of the Beatles or Bob Dylan is that someone like her can have a career defining song with a song that he wrote.
Yeah,
and that used to happen all the time.
Yeah, it doesn't happen anymore.
No, it used to happen in the early 70s. I mean, even if it was a Neil Sedaka song, I mean, you could cover it or cap. I mean, hell, I mean, it didn't matter.
I would get it.
Those 10 songs, like Daydream Believer was being done by 9 different people at one different time.
I think I would get Prince's argument if Prince were like a songwriter that no one knew of. But it's like, bro, you have an entire catalog that spans decades. No one doesn't know who you are. You are thoroughly appreciated. You're thoroughly respected. Sure. There is a tune that Sinead O'Connor blew up, everybody like, the hell difference does it make to you, man?
What about, well, you cover the Beatles, you're doing Drive My Car for the new Netflix Beat Bugs, and you've got,
do you do
Dylan when you're out, is there anybody that you wouldn't cover? Is there any song, is there a Stairway, like when you walk into Guitar Center, no Stairway, is there a Chris Cornell version of that where you're like, you know what, I'm just not going to cover that song.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Okay.
There's a really good chance there's a lot of songs I probably will never play, but I don't think that I would have a rule of not doing.
Have you seen the guy that they have that dresses up like an old guy, old man, and he goes out to the city basketball courts and he just schools everybody? So they put like prosthetic makeup on him, and he goes out and he's got gray hair, whatever. Like, look at this old man. He goes out and he just does it. Have you ever thought about doing that for like karaoke? In other words, they put you in makeup, right? what I mean? Like, you are the karaoke ringer. No one, you're like this old crippled guy. Maybe you got a cane. You kind of fake going up on the stage and then just do, I don't know, Jesus Christ pose or The Day I Tried to Live or something like that, just to see the reaction from the audience.
They tell you you suck. You know what I'm saying?
Chris Cornell. Like, this old guy really could nail some Soundgarden. You know what I mean? Just, I don't know.
I did that. I wasn't dressed up, though. I just walked up and started singing karaoke, and they said, this old guy can really nail some karaoke.
You have done karaoke.
No, I haven't actually. Okay. I never have.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Dude, like, you are the ringer. Yeah.
Could you sit through karaoke? I mean, one thing that's notorious about you is your pipes, right? And it's been there for decades, and I know you know this, and you're very acclaimed for that. I don't have a good singing voice, and sitting through karaoke is just a stupid idea to me. Because everyone up there has about my talent, and there's a reason why we don't do what you do, and it's because we can't effing sing. I'm telling you, just go to a karaoke bar, listen to it, and I'm telling you, you're going to appreciate yourself. You're going to have a newfound self-respect for your own ability.
Do you appreciate your voice? Do you know how good it is, or do you take it for granted?
I sort of look at it as an instrument, like a reed instrument, like a saxophone or something. Except that the human voice, it changes, it changes not just, I'm not talking about like over time, I'm talking about like, oh, I have a cold this week, or it just changes anyway. I mean, even in my 20s, we'd be on tour, wake up one morning and it didn't work the same way as it did the day before. So I never really think about it too much. I just sort of try to do the best I can with that day. And then in the long run, I think I've made changes, to not be a complete idiot, like stop smoking. And
how many instruments do you play now? I know you're doing Dylan. You're playing the harp.
Harp,
the harmonica. Oh, I mean, you got all these.
I play the harp too.
Yes, exactly.
I'm just picturing you sitting
for weddings,
the harp
bar mitzvahs. There's always a harpist in the corner.
Supplement the income.
Hey, that's Chris Cornell playing harp at the wedding. But how many instruments do you play? Can you count them all?
I don't play any great. I play guitar every single day, and I'm okay at it. But I picked that up as a song, I can use this to write songs. Soundgarden was already a band before I ever touched a guitar. And the attitude was very cool. Like when I touched a guitar and said, oh, I got this part, guys, and I'm showing a guitar player, and I've never played guitar. The reaction was actually really positive right away. It was very encouraging, like, oh, that's really cool. Show me how you're doing that, instead of put that thing down.
Right.
You're embarrassing yourself. That didn't happen. So that encouraged me. And then I thought, wow, songwriting kind of became the thing for me. It was more so than being a singer or a front man, but creating the music of your band. Because when you're a musician and you're a teenager and you're trying... The idea is that, I'm going to be the best of whatever my position is, and then some amazing band is going to come along and they're going to put me in their band. And then at some point you realize that's never going to happen. And if you want a cool band that sounds cool, that has great songs, you got to sort of figure out how to do that. And that's been my focus since like 1984, is like that, right? Writing the songs, creating this kind of, it's another fiction almost. You're writing a soundtrack to something that you kind of create, and then over the course of decades, you can change it. But that is like more exciting than anything.
I'm gonna tell you right now,
than singing.
You annoy everyone in this room, and here's why. So,
and we're huge fans.
Huge fans.
Just not like you as a person.
But you make me sick, and this is why. Because you can take a band like Nickelback, and this isn't about the band Nickelback, but Chad Kroeger's an ugly dude, right? But he's still not. But listen, but he gets chicks because he's got pipes. Uh-huh. Mick Jagger, women notoriously say he's one of the sexiest men, and I get what they're saying, it's how he carries himself, but honest to God, one of the ugliest men ever born in history, mankind. But he's got the swing, and then here's you, right? So you got the looks, which is annoying. It's annoying. But then you get the pipes. And see, now you understand where I'm going here. That pisses me off because I feel like, look, you can be ugly and sing your ass off. You can be good looking and not be able to do any goddamn thing. But then also, lyrically, I think you're one of the most poetic writers, as far as rock goes, Easily.
I knew we were going to be friends. I knew it was going to work.
No, we're not going to be friends. Because here's the thing. So I'm like, here's a good-looking guy with great pipes. He's very poetic with the writing. You're in Soundgarden, one of my favorite bands all time. Your solo stuff's outstanding. And it's like, you know what? F you. Because the rest of us are ugly and untalented and doing nothing poetic. They don't even put us on TV. That's why we're
You ever have like an old woman walk up to you at an airport and go like, Rick Springfield?
No.
Oh, my God. It's really you. Now, last time you guys were in town, Matt's son got up and played.
Uh-huh.
And then just this past year, within the past year, you got a chance to bring your daughter up and play. And I guess you played her school performance or assembly or something like that before you brought her up?
I didn't. That was her by herself. I recorded the guitar, and she sang to that CD.
Also, she got up.
This was kind of the first time, you know, we were up on stage together.
Yeah, she annoyed us, too. Miles pulled up the video and was like, dude. She's got pipes too, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, your daughter has a beautiful voice.
Not only that, but like she's had no fear of doing it. Because I remember
it's a Beacon Theater in New York City.
I know, and I was around the same age. I sang like a school assembly at my school, and I it was something that they put out a sign up sheet for, and I thought, oh, I'll sign up for that and I'll sing a song. And then the day of the assembly, I remember thinking, what the hell was I thinking?
Right.
This is, I'm going to stand in front of the whole school, not just my grade, but the whole school, and say I was terrified. And this is the Beacon. I had two shows in a row, and I tried to kind of talk her out of it because I thought, you know, the first time you step up in front of people, especially now everyone's filming it and putting it on YouTube, and people are going to kind of scrutinize it because she's my daughter. And she was like, no, I want to go. And I wouldn't let her go the first night. And the second night, I was kind of trying to talk her out of that, too, because I was thinking, you know, we can do sound checks for a month, and then you can come up.
How many times did you practice doing it? Redemption song?
A handful of times. But, you know, we did a sound check, so she was on the stage, and I wanted her to see what it feels like, what it sounds like. And she got pissed because she could see where I was going.
Where's my water?
You know? She's like, you're not going to let me do it. And then I thought, no, you got, you know, I'll let you do it. But I was super nervous. She came out, and she wasn't nervous at all.
She crushed it, man.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, I mean, she absolutely.
And then that one, and there was another one. One time, this is a couple years back. I can't remember what I was in the office watching your one of your performances, and I'm like, Steve, come here. You brought your brother up on stage, and your brother can sing and play guitar too.
It's just like, all right,
so
F
he,
the whole
I mean,
family,
he, that's what that's all. What I was like, come here for a minute. Look at this. Even his brother's good, and he was. Like, I feel bad for him. You know what I mean? Like, I'm real good, but my brother's Chris Cornell. It's as far as your tour this year, it was kind of I thought it was an interesting year, but a tough year. You had Lemmy passing away, David Bowie, Glenn Frey, Scott Weiland. I know you did Say Hello to Heaven for Scott when you were in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess you normally, you know, would do that for Andrew. And then you got into some Mad Season, and it just seemed like a lot of heavy things happened when you were out there. That situation happened in France. It was just a lot of weird stuff going on when you were out on tour. Was that did that kind of affect what you did on stage and the songs you did? And
I think the one that really affected me and probably everyone in the audience is what happened in Paris.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I played that same theater a couple years back doing the acoustic show that I've been doing around here, and you know, normally when there's a horrible thing like that happens, a tragedy, and then you're going out on stage that night, you go out and you address it and you talk about it and you try to say something, you know, either you're sort of flooded with emotion and or you're pissed off and you go out and you yell and scream. That was a situation where I felt like I don't think I really want to bring this up now while there's an audience sitting in the seats the same way that audience was sitting in those seats watching Eagles of Death Metal, just, you know, innocent people out trying to relax and see a rock show and you know, forget about the day for a minute. That's all they were guilty of. So I didn't talk much about it, and it was the first time in my life I could think of a situation like that where I don't have anything to say about it because it just seems like it's not something for anybody to think about while they're sitting in the same situation. You're almost like you're too close to it. So it was, and what do you say?
I mean, you're not going to say in situations like that. I know people take to Twitter and they do all that, and I always just call nonsense on it because I'm like, we all recognize what happened. You're not going to say anything that we don't already think.
Right.
It's horrible. We understand it. Let's try to get past it, man. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to tell him about
it? And also, and maybe this is it's something that happened, I think, when Kurt died. At the time, I think people considered me someone that was somewhat together, and I don't know why. They didn't know me. They weren't friends with me like you are. And
we're not friends, man.
And so I was getting calls to participate in interviews where they're I think they kind of wanted to hear somebody say a positive thing. And I remember saying, there's no silver lining to this. Right. You know, there's nothing good I have to say about it. This
the
is
guy's depressed,
a horrible
he
thing.
Shot himself in the head.
Yeah.
What are you going to say to make this better?
Does it, no. I mean, does it change your just, I just even remember, even back when what happened to Great White. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all been in those bars and those clubs, either bringing back. You know, we've all been in those situations. We all, like, when you get
Except
up on stage.
Except I would never go to see Great White.
No,
I mean, I'm just saying, like,
well,
I'm sorry, man. I know what happened. I'm just saying, I would not spend money to see Great White.
But you spend time in France.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I would have to guess that hit you a little bit harder.
Met my wife there, you know, had my kids there. Person close to us was supposed to be at that show and just ended up they didn't, but we didn't know at the time.
Allison Chain's merch guy was working for Eagles of Death Metal. Uh-huh. He worked for a number of bands, but he was one of the guys who was there.
But do you hear about the stuff the same way we do, or do you get the phone call? I mean, to me, that'd be the one. Like, you hear about it on the news and go, Jesus. Like,
I was watching TV at the inside of a recording studio, just sitting there, and it came up.
That had to just be unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when it's guys you know. I mean, the situation is stupid enough and it's pathetic enough, and that's the world we're living in right now, but it's so much different when it's someone you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just, I don't know if the same thing happened at a different radio station.
Well, it was pretty bad, and it's, you know, and it's neighborhoods that you know, and it's a city you know, and we know a lot of people there. And we knew right away that no one was specifically at that show that we knew. But that didn't make it, you know, that made it sort of less of an emergency, but it didn't make it,
it's
you know,
less
it didn't,
personal, but
yeah,
it's
you don't,
tragic.
You don't walk away going, oh, okay, no problem. it's tough. It's because we also, you know, we projected on, and I think we should, is we sort of projected on whatever city we're in or whatever city we live in. And I think, you know, you sort of have to. I mean, especially for those of us that have kids out in the world, and you know, or children young enough where you're going to be in a position where you got to try to describe and explain what happened and why. You know, and I don't really even know how to explain why. I tried, but it's
people are goddamn crazy. I mean, yeah, I think that's at the, like, look, man, there's a lot of
that
reasons
is like a very
give.
That is actually the. The perfect explanation for it, really. When
I got
comes
a 5-year-old
down.
Even
daughter,
that guy in Michigan.
And, she's not quite up on what's going on, but she does recognize you're paying a little more attention to the TV. Things are kind of somber at her daycare and all that. So she asked, and I just said, "Look, man, you know, the thing about the world is, like, you think Daddy's crazy because I am, but I'm like, people are goddamn crazy, and they will give you excuses for acting like a jackass. But the truth, I'm like, they're crazy, and there's nothing you can do about it. And this stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know? You have any individual stories of just good memories with Scott Weiland or Lemmy, or did you ever meet David Bowie or Glenn Frey?
I met Lemmy, who was an absolute gentleman from the very beginning. You know, just an unassuming, gracious guy. I met David Bowie the same way. I saw him in a situation where it was a cover shoot for Vanity Fair music issue. So you know, Stevie Wonder was there, and
wow,
and there are a lot of amazing people there. But he kind of went out of his way to just kind of make everybody relax. And I probably didn't look relaxed. I probably looked like I didn't
that's David
feel
Bowie
like I belonged
Stevie Wonder,
there.
Dude.
And,
I mean,
I know.
Yeah, that's heavy duty.
Stevie Wonder was amazing too. You know, just. Everybody was relaxed, but he went out of his way to just make sure that everybody felt cool. You know, all the younger people that were there that might be terrified that they're going to be in a picture with.
You still calling
like
yourself younger then, huh?
Yeah, I was.
Speaking of that, do you feel younger when you guys get back together and start Soundgarden? You've been doing your thing, and it's one thing, but now you're getting back together with your group of friends from growing up. And
it's nothing has changed from the time that I was 21 and we were doing it, except for that. I notice everybody kind of reaches for the Advil and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
40 minutes into it, everyone's kind of stretching. Or you get that old man back moment where you just slightly move and then right. suddenly you're cringing in pain for no reason.
Is Ben Shepherd always grumpy? My belief is that the man is always grumpy. He might not be in a bad mood. It's just his general disposition.
He came in here for an interview. And we thought he was just going to kill us all.
Apparently he liked us.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But
no. Like, there was no visual evidence that he enjoyed it.
He did not smile.
Nothing about mm-hmm. it.
No, I think he has the, you know, he probably can appear grumpy when he's not feeling it. But he also, he can be like very exuberant and
I don't know. Oh, he gets up on stage and just he goes on stage and just goes crazy.
Yeah. No, he's somebody that is definitely a joyful guy a lot of the time. But
are you kidding?
You know,
me?
I'm not
I
kidding
don't believe you. I thought we're supposed to be friends.
But you know, you have to I'm also, you know, it's a relative sort of observation, considering that our nickname was Frown Garden. We're not like
Frown Garden.
I'm sort of compared right. to me. You know that's the best I can do.
That's great. Because Matt seems like the nicest
going
guy in
like
the world.
Mood swing, Kim's like the in the up or down. But Ben just seems steady angry. Kim just seems steady, like, I don't care.
You know what? I like
that. And then Matt's kind of like, I don't know. This guy's like bouncing around and seems happy.
Actually,
all the time.
I like Ben's, his solo album. I don't know. It kind of had a weird Tom Waits kind of groove to it. It was actually, I liked it.
Really good.
Yeah,
it's
it was.
Great. Their Hater albums are fantastic and very different than each other. And, no, Ben is someone that is super creative and you know, I don't think that's unusual, really, for the creative temperament to sometimes appear as though they want to murder everyone in the room.
That is his general appearance.
Yeah.
His general disposition.
Is there a time period for you guys, or do you just start writing and you know when you know?
I think one of the things that was a factor in us kind of splitting up in the first place was that everything had a clock on it. And you know, it was a time period where, I guess in a good way, the music business was still pretty healthy. And you know, you were always in a cycle of recording and promoting and then touring. Or writing, recording, touring. And we were late for everything, always. And so, we'd sit down and have these meetings. We ended up not having meetings because it was so awful. But, you know, there'd be a calendar in front of us and someone would put a red X on the date that we were going to start the promotional tour for the album that we had not started to write yet. And so now, we just write when there's no discussion really at all about when that's going to come out
and you guys,
what that means. We just write songs and it doesn't happen any faster or slower. It just seems like it's more relaxed.
Sure. And when you take your ugly, untalented ass out of here, you're mm-hmm. headed to the studio to begin writing, right?
Yeah, well, we already started. We've been working a little bit, but yes.
This is important to us.
Right. Yeah.
So knowing that you're working on a new Soundgarden album mm-hmm. and like you're headed to the studio after that, we have some ideas for you.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to appreciate all of them.
Oh, okay.
I can tell by your face. And we're friends, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you keep saying. So the thing is.
Well, you said we weren't, but.
Well, no, we are now.
I know we are.
We are now. Yeah. I'm moody.
We're bonding.
Man. We're bonding. We have bonded. Mm-hmm.
It's a roller coaster ride of emotions.
Well, that's it. But like, if you're going to start writing, you know, I feel like you should let the listeners know that, hey, I was just here at the men's room, right? So mm-hmm. we started thinking yesterday, if you could just fit in, like, just somewhere, like, in the music, you know, mm-hmm. because you're like, fit sandwich. You mm-hmm. know, it'd be a small tribute.
Right, like, you know, Carol Burnett used to tug on her ear for her mother.
Let her mom mm-hmm. know. At the end of the Carol sure. Burnett show, you know, she'd tug her ear.
Maybe you uh-huh. just...
And it was for her mom, let her mom know, like, hey, I'm thinking uh-huh. of you, you know, thanks for watching. You could do an hola.
You know, she hated her mom. She did. I saw an interview.
Are you kidding me?
She hated her mom.
No, she did. Yeah. Why did she tug her ear? Why wouldn't you do something like that?
Because she was getting a little older and early onset and forgot to hate her. I don't know. No, I don't know.
Are you being sure Carol Burnett could not stand her mom?
She's sweet. She's sweet. But I saw it. Yeah, I've seen like sort of documentaries about her and her mom and everything. Yeah, I think she kind of hated her mom. But that,
or maybe just like a word like Uranus. You know what I mean? You can just drop it in there, and then we know it's in there. There it is.
We're friends now.
That's right.
That doesn't mean I won't tug my ear for you, though. Did he tug his ear? No, there was a fly. I don't know. I think it was for me.
He'll be watching YouTube videos for the next 3 years. Like, did he do it there? Was it that concert? Did he do
it? If you could work the word sausage into a song. Look, man, it's not done much. If you want to break mm-hmm. new ground.
Tough to rhyme.
Do you have any Black Reins? Are there any songs that have just been there for, but not on the surface, but just kind of been there for a number of years that have almost almost been completed.
Like, did you guys cheat, you know what I mean? Put out an album?
There's stuff that you worked on from the last one. You're like, yeah, it wasn't really ready to go. But do you guys have that in your catalog as well?
We tend to not do that. What we will do, though, is kind of resurrect a really old idea. Like on King Animal, there was a song that I tried to write lyrics for probably during the Down on the Upside songwriting sessions. And I actually did a demo of it at home. And it was Kim's song on guitar, and I just kind of played it, recorded it at home, and then I sang over it. And I hated it so much, I was embarrassed by it. I never played it for anybody. So they didn't know. And then we were working on King Animal, and Kim started playing that idea again, and I remembered it. And so the next thing I did was just try to not remember what I was singing because it was so bad. So I sort of ignored it and then wrote a whole different thing, and it turned out a lot better. And that, I don't know, it was like 15 years later. So that's a song that was like at least 15 years.
Wow.
In being completed. But most of the time, we will have plans to kind of keep working on something that we didn't finish. But then a bunch of new ideas come, and those, you know, the older ideas often just get kind of buried under the new things.
Now, when you say that you were, it sucked and it was awful.
Oh my God, yeah, it was bad.
I mean, how bad could it be, though? I mean, and I understand.
So bad no one's ever heard it but me.
Come on. I don't believe
but,
it.
I know, but you've got to be a hard
critic. That happens all the time.
Because I think from the perspective of you, your version of something being embarrassingly horrible would be a lot different than a lot of other people, man. And I'm basing this on your body of work, whether it's your solo stuff, Soundgarden, all this. There's a consistency to your lyrical ability, your voice, all the rest of that stuff. So I feel like when you say, oh, man, this is embarrassingly bad, I think the rest of us would be like, it's pretty goddamn good, man.
I think you learn over time. Because I think it was the Bad Motor Finger writing sessions. I started working on a bunch of songs alone where I wrote like 8 or 9 songs and put them all on a cassette, and we got together as a band, and I was like, hey guys, here's the songs I've been working on, and I'd been working hard for months, and something happens, like I was too isolated, maybe, I'm not sure, but once the very beginning of the very first song started with other people in the room, especially with my bandmates in the room, I realized all this stuff is awful. It's all awful. And then they listened to all of it, and they're trying to be supportive, but it was pretty quiet, and I realized, okay, this is awful. And I most of those songs were scrapped. I think I rewrote one of them,
sure,
rearranged it, but most of those songs were scrapped. Now, fast forward a couple of years, going through those songs, you know, going back and listening to like DAT tapes of old stuff. Well, I think one or two of those songs, player? I felt like, you know, we kind of got this wrong because this would have been a good song.
Sure.
Most of them, I realized, no, this was definitely bad. I wasn't mistaking it for not bad. And that hasn't happened much since, but I definitely went down that road. It like screwed me up enough to where if I feel like something's not working early on, it probably isn't.
Do you you bring up DAT tapes and all that. There was, you know, reel
to
reel.
Where did you find
the
machine to play?
Well, I was going
to
say the same thing. I don't even know if we have a DAT player in here anymore. But
I had it when it originally came out.
It was the wave of the future. That everyone's going to use. But, that's what they told us.
But do you have a collection of stuff that you've kept throughout the years? I mean, is there stuff that you have kept in boxes that, like, look, you know,
I have all of the tapes of demos and even like cassette 4-track things. I have all that stuff.
Even the bad songs, the embarrassing ones?
They're all embarrassing when you're starting out.
Man, yeah, I'm telling you, you need to just put out like just the album of crap to say, look, man, this is what we spared you from. This was the stuff we thought was a good idea in the end.
Well,
we hated it. I think it'd be an interesting thing. And I think it's a ballsy thing because most people, like even if you watch outtakes of a movie, they'll say, these are the scenes we thought sucked.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be interesting to get the perspective of a band that's been as successful as you guys have been. Say, hey, man, these are things we tried. It just didn't work.
Well, here's what I would do. It's always going to happen when you're gone. So, you know, like, the family's going to release the Chris Cornell Lost Basement tapes.
That's a good point.
And then, you might as well figure out a way, man, to... Yeah. You're either going to tell, like, your daughter, hey, look, man, whatever, no matter what, you're in charge. Do not let this out.
As long as I'm dead, I don't really care. I can't believe he did that. It's like box sets of
just stuff from the basement coming out all
the time. And now, I mean, that's the reality show formula. The reality show formula is to just see people squirm on camera, pretty much. Yeah. Like the contest shows. You want a triumphant moment here and there, too, sure, as well. But Like the guys in Alaska, for example, like some of that is interesting. It's like what they do and how they can do it, and but a lot of it is like, oh my God, that guy! Look at that guy in Alaska, and he probably should see a dentist, and that's entertainment. Or a contest show where it's like somebody walks out and sings amazingly and it's triumphant, and then someone comes out and it's really awful and embarrassing.
You live in L.A., right?
I live in New York. Actually, okay, so between New York and Miami, kind of.
Is LA like a reality show though? Just by living there, I mean, just by being there.
I would think Miami's more reality than New York, because Miami. I've been to Miami a few times. Yeah. And, New York is just whoever the hell you are, just go do your thing, and nobody cares.
Yeah.
Miami, I am definitely the ugliest person there, and I know what you're thinking.
Everywhere you go.
But by leaps and bounds in Miami, man, that I don't picture you as a Miami guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of myself as that, but it's a different thing when you're there, just kind of raising your kids and you're there with your family. We don't go out to clubs at night, and I don't go to the gym. And
clearly, what happens to your hair, Miami? But even my beard, it is so goddamn.
It just kind of goes like dime bag.
It kind of goes more in the dime bag direction.
Everyone I know looks different in Miami. I mean, your eyebrows curl.
Do you have a white suit? Do you own a white suit?
No.
See, I think if you have to have a white suit if you live in, or at least a pastel.
You don't really need clothes in Miami.
No, you don't.
Clothes don't really work. You need kind of baggy shorts and flip flops.
God, that's gotta be great. Have you ever gone down to Key West, taken that drive down Highway 1, and seen any of that stuff down there?
No, but I was out. I actually drove out with a photographer friend of mine into kind of the middle of nowhere to do a photo shoot, and then we were driving back, and there are a bunch of wild pigs on the highway. And that's the first I'd ever seen that.
Yeah.
Wild pigs.
That seems reasonable.
Like that's babies, you know.
Was Mama around? Or they just...
No, we didn't see Mama. And we almost ran over them.
Any alligators that you have to deal with in your property?
No. We don't have any gators on the property.
Okay.
No.
Not yet.
No, I was just down there to see my dad in Naples. Gators everywhere.
Everywhere?
Everywhere. Really? Everywhere. And I was like,
Why does anyone live there?
That's what I was trying to figure out.
You can live in Tornado Alley and all that.
They shut off a Publix parking lot because they had the gator patrol there, like wrangling up a gator in the parking lot. I'm like, where in the hell am I?
At the grocery store.
At the Publix.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
What's one of the stranger interactions you've had? So, like you said, you walk somewhere, maybe people recognize some Chris, love the band. Mm-hmm. Like, what would be one of these stranger, just kind of, not like after a show, but I mean, hell, I don't know. You're standing at Starbucks to get a coffee and it started getting odd.
Well, probably the strangest one I can think of off the top of my head was, I was in Stockholm in the restaurant of the hotel on tour. I think it was with Audioslave at the time. And my young wife is with me and we're sitting there. And a guy who's American comes and sits down next to me.
At your table?
No, but the table next to us, and he keeps looking up at me like he recognized me, and I think, okay, he recognizes me, and he's American, so he probably doesn't surprise me. Yeah. And what you just described, kind of, but not, he keeps looking at me, and I finally look at him like, let's get this part over with, and he says, are you the boss?
Are you the boss?
Yeah, and I didn't understand the question. This is getting weird.
Oh, no.
Are you the boss, right? You're Bruce Springsteen.
Oh,
I was wearing kind of a black overcoat, like sort of jersey looking old thing. But I thought, you're an American guy that obviously grew up in the United States, and you're looking at me.
And you think,
I'm Bruce Springsteen. How does that happen?
Look, man, this is no disrespect to you.
I got a lot of Johnny Depp, though, and I got a lot of...
there's worse things than Johnny Depp. Dennis Rodman.
Really?
He's the ugliest mother... He's the ugliest son of a bitch ever born. He's uglier than Mick Jagger. And I was in Miami, goddammit, and the sushi chef, all right? So I'm eating sushi, and every time I glance at the chef, he goes, oh, right? Every single time, big smile. And you realize you're doing it back, and I don't know if that's disrespectful or not, but it's like do it back because he every time. So the waiter comes up at the end and he said, hey, man, look, this is on the house. And he goes, I know you're not, but the chef over there is really excited you're here. I'm like, why? So Like, dude, he thinks you're Dennis Rodman. It's like, Jesus Christ, that's the ugliest son of a bitch on earth, man. So you're getting compared to Johnny Depp. I get Dennis Rodman. And Dennis Rodman isn't even cool when you take away his looks. But, and this is no disrespect to you, but I feel like if anyone walks up to anyone believing that it's Bruce Springsteen, no matter who you say you are, you're going to let them down.
Yeah, that's true.
Just like, Chris Cornell, I don't care.
That's why I, said yes. In fact, I am Bruce Springsteen. Yes? Oh, stop.
Chris Cornell, everybody. There you go, man. We appreciate you coming in. Thanks.
Thank you.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man.
A Double Flush production.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.